Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 8th of November, recording at 9:07 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were quiet, mostly quietly steady. The European stock markets closed with some moderate gains. And they were helped, as was Wall Street, by the conclusion that Prime Minister Berlusconi of Italy would be resigning shortly after, I think, a budget agreement leading to a by some sort of coalition government. I don't have all the exact details, but certainly it was the indication that Berlusconi would resign that helped the markets. And that caused Wall Street to tack on another 100 points just over on the Dow, push the S&P 500 up to 1275, nearly 1276, and up 1.2%, that was slightly more, on the NASDAQ Composite Index. Now, long-dated government bond prices in the U.S. weakened, with the long bond down 1.5 points. The bunds and gilts were slightly firmer. Italian bonds, incidentally, had hit new high yields here this morning over concern regarding the Italian vote. Be very interesting to see what happens tomorrow. More on that in a moment. And the U.S. dollar is a little bit easier in here today with Wall Street rallying. Dollar index down to 76.60. Well, that's really range-bound. The euro liked the Italian announcement, up to 138.41. And sterling up to 161. In precious metals, we had a turnaround in gold. It had been slightly down for most of the day. Then it staged a rally, pushed up to 1802, nearly 1803 dollars. But then closed down on the day. It's what's currently trading after hours, down $10.50 at 1784 and change. Now, the other precious metals are still showing small profits on the day. Industrial metals mostly a little bit steadier. Crude oil got up to nearly 16.5 on Brent, and fell back then a dollar. I think it's 15.5 here, but still quite firm. And the NYMEX crude is at 97. And that's up $1.50 nearly. Anything else to mention in here? The grain and bean complex, wheat did best, corn up a little bit. There's a USDA announcement tomorrow that could be important. More on that in a moment. And rough rice was down a little bit. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, Europe is still garnering the lion's share of our focus. Everybody's paying attention. We're all experts on what the latest developments in Greece, which is really now a sideshow, and Italy, which is really quite important. But Italy's problems, I would say, are entirely political. Now, we might say that most of these problems are entirely political. And let me step back and say, well, yes, Europe enjoyed a great party. All these countries thought that they could borrow at German interest rates in perpetuity, and there were some investors in those bonds naive enough to think that they could actually go on and do that. And so they were all running up big debts. The party's over, quite obviously. They're in a very painful debt deleveraging phase. There's deflation in wages, certainly deflation in lifestyles, but they're getting some commodity price inflation as well. So we have a stagflation situation here overall for those countries. But let's take Italy specifically here. The Berlusconi government was certainly not without solutions, and indeed propose them. I'm going to have to take on the unions. Sorry, I'm going to have a little cough and a drink of water. Okay, I'm still not 100% beyond my little bug, but it's a minor non-event, but it does affect my voice occasionally, for which I apologize. But to say that the Berlusconi government has proposed sensible solutions. They're going to take on the unions. Not the easiest thing to do in Europe or any other, and not the easiest thing to do in Italy or any other European country, but it has to be done. And so, they were talking about taking the retirement of public sector workers' age up to from 60 to 62. Well, I think I should run it straight up to at least 65. And if I were a betting man, I'd say that it might be closer to 70 within the next ten years. And no bad thing. No bad thing overall. But basically, these countries have got to get back to affordability. And that means less socialism. And they are going to have to become more entrepreneurial and find the growth. That's not an impossibility by any means. I touched on this yesterday, so I don't want to go on too long about it, but Italy is not without plenty of resourcefulness, everything from fantastic tourism, not least in the southern part of the country. Mega food exports. They're the premier makers of so many of these luxury goods that Asian countries are mopping up. Plenty of white goods that go on and on and on, and here. So it's just a matter of the politicians explaining the basic reality with the help of the whole European community to the population, and making some sensible decisions. So, when I look at this European debt situation, which various people have rather hyperbolically described as Armageddon, and I feel, well, this too will pass. It's a long, painful deleveraging process, but they'll come out healthier at the other end. Now, ditto the USA, although it needs to grasp more of the nettle here in terms of cutting back on the debt. But the USA has the capacity to be a little bit more of a vibrant economy than Europe, although if I'm honest, under the current administration, it's been moving more in the direction of European ever more subsidies, benefits, and so on, losing sight of where the growth needs to come from to a certain extent. Now, Asia, on the other hand, hungry, feel it all, it's all ahead of them, a lot of confidence, fewer safety nets, but plenty of incentives, plenty of opportunity. And these things move in cycles, don't they? But at the end of the day, I don't see any reason why the West can't reinvent itself in a healthier form of capitalism, including cutting back extensively on the kleptocrats, both in corporations and governments. Corporations have arguably moved a fair amount in that direction, creating the highly successful autonomies. Okay, but what about this stock market? The Wall Street leash effect is very positive here right now. We've got the NASDAQ 100 index pushing up to test its upper boundary. And it certainly looks to me like it's going to go through. Maybe it pauses here for a short period of time and consolidates. That's actually what it's been doing. But I think it's going to break upwards here. And everything I see really is providing more evidence that those what we'd said for the major stock markets, that the region of the August, September, and early October lows would hold. That was the end of the cyclical bear market, and that we're now back into a cyclical bullish phase with Wall Street, as I say, that providing the leash effect, very, very positive, good relative strength. ASEAN stock markets, Indonesia, and the Philippines, but Indonesia has so often been a relative strength leader, both globally and within the ASEAN sector, back up above its 200-day moving average, which is also turning upwards once again, as is the NASDAQ's moving average. S&P is not far away from that. So that's quite a considerable improvement. People were too bearish, just as we saw slightly earlier in that 2010 period. People became much too bearish. Monetary conditions still provide a decent tailwind, and that tailwind now includes China, which is the missing catalyst that I was concerned about a month or two ago. So I think that's all really quite favorable here, and I've increased my long positions, as you'll see in the comment of the day, if you get around to seeing that. Now, what about gold? And I mentioned yesterday that it was a little bit overbought, both in the short-term move, and also that's taken it to a little bit of an overextended position against its rising 200-day moving average. So don't be surprised if we see some ranging now and possibly a pullback. But I think something major would have to frighten the gold holders here to cause a big downward reaction. We know that when stock markets are quite weak, that gold can be subject to contagion selling, and that makes sense. But I don't think stock markets are going to be quite weak, not in the near term. And therefore, what else might weigh on gold a little bit? Well, perhaps some of the people who were buying because they were fearful of what was happening in Europe might feel a little less fearful. But it's very hard to guess on any given day what it is that's going to be the main influence on sentiment in gold. But overall, we're overbought. We might see a little bit of a consolidation, and that would be a buying opportunity if it occurred. Gold shares. Owen has done a good review of those today. Those big cap gold shares have impressive patterns. I mean, you go back a few years, and really it was kind of the smaller or second tier gold mines that were making the running because they were takeover candidates. But I think it's the biggies that are going to do it this time, Newmont. But again, you'll see it in Owen's write up, his review. Now, crude oil. This is a concern to us right now because crude oil is stronger than we'd like to see, and something that I should have looked at a little earlier, but I was shocked when Owen and I were talking about it this morning to see that both Brent and WTI crude are back in solid backwardations. And these are not just covering a month or two, but they run right through the contracts that are shown. Now, we had a long period, most of the time, we saw crude oil in these big contangos, and that a lot of that had to do with all of those rollover positions and tracker funds. Well, I think those are probably much reduced, but this backwardation that we're seeing, it's not due to supply problems that have suddenly cropped up, and it's a little bit of a mystery. It could be due to rising demand here, and we'll see in terms of the evidence that comes out before long. But you know my adage on this, that commodities are the best opportunity that eventually does sufficiently well to become the next big problem, and nothing causes problems like crude oil. So you put crude oil $20 higher, and the world's going to be back into a difficult situation. So I really feel that the oil prices, more than almost anything else, are likely to really determine the length of what I feel is now at least a medium-term cyclical bull phase here for equities that really started properly in the beginning of October, as those August and September lows, or the region of those August and September lows, were reconfirmed. So there's a lot going on here that we need to monitor, but I think this is something that we're going to have to live with, as I've said before. And this is a difficult decade. It's difficult in terms of commodity shortages. Energy supplies will be tight. You've got people cutting back on their nuclear capacity and hoping that the windmills and solar panels are going to do it all. And well, that's not really realistic. And they're also cutting back on the coal. And while that certainly makes sense environmentally, it's also pressuring or tightening the supply-demand balance here in crude oil, apparently. And that, as I say, is very much a concern. Now, 10 years from now, the whole world will be producing shale oil in addition to their shale gas, and the situation will be quite different. But it's not that way today. I'd say only the U.S. has really got its shale oil and shale gas going. Others are just beginning to do that, and most haven't even started yet. Okay. Anything else to mention in here? No, I think that's pretty much those are the highlights in here today. Not a bad outlook at all for stock markets, following a realization that Europe is not going to end the world It's just got a long, hard debt deleveraging process ahead of it. But the world can certainly live with that. Oil's the wild card. Keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.